Welcome to The V Word, using the airwaves to educate and advocate to end sexual and domestic violence. I'm Carol Olson, and I produce The V Word in the studios of WRIRLP 97.3 FM. And today, Lisette returns to continue her story about surviving domestic violence and gun violence. Welcome back, Lisette.
Thanks for having me.
And through your experience, and then you becoming an activist following that, what were some of the things that you influenced Virginia law in terms of gun violence and domestic violence and those linkages?
One of the most dangerous times for someone who is in an abusive relationship, and I think we see abuse as black eyes, broken bones, stereotypical on TV. My husband was verbally abusive until that final, almost lethal act of violence. So the control is more of a predictor, how controlling somebody is, than actual physical violence. Of course, I did not know that then. The most dangerous time in an abusive relationship is when someone is leaving the relationship. And if a protective order is sought and the respondent still has the opportunity to maintain their firearms, we have exponentially added the danger to typically the woman who is leaving. And I testified and was able to give voice to people who weren't fortunate enough to survive. And to say there needs to be some way to have firearms removed when a protective order is issued. Right now, it is only when the permanent protective order has been issued, and that's usually 2 weeks after the emergency and the preliminary protective order, which is something. But we still need to work further to, when a protective order is issued, to have guns surrendered immediately. And if they're not, to have some sort of consequences for that. There are to not surrender after the permanent protective order right now in Virginia. There's a 24-hour surrender period, and if it is not surrendered, it's a Class 6 felony. I don't know how many police departments are following through on that and enforcing that. So I think that needs to be looked at as well. But one thing that's very, very simple that is really just common sense, and that's background checks on every gun sale. And there's a lot of argument, well, criminals will find a way to get a gun. Or if he really wants to kill her, he'll find a way to get a gun. But we do know that background checks have kept over 300,000 people who were prohibited from having firearms from getting them. So we know that that works. We know background checks work. We also know that every single firearm, when it comes from the manufacturer, is sold through a licensed dealer. And so if we continue the background check, because, of course, if you're buying from a licensed dealer, federal licensed dealer, they have a requirement for a background check. So if we keep that going down the line to each purchaser, yes, someone may buy a gun and give it to someone else who uses it in a crime. But we do know that that will limit that significantly by having universal background checks. And anyone who is lawfully can lawfully own a gun, that's not going to prohibit them from owning a gun. We're just trying to keep it from people like domestic abusers. And when there's a gun present in an abusive relationship, that is a fivefold increase for women to be shot and killed by their partner. That's significant. Women are, I don't have it here, it's like 17 times at greater risk to be killed by their partner in the United States than anywhere else in the world. And right now, we now have more guns in the United States than people.
Lisette returns on Friday the 30th to continue her story, 10 a.m. You've been listening to The V Word, a weekly radio broadcast providing information and discussing issues related to sexual and domestic violence. V Word is produced by Carol Olson in the studios of WRIRLP 97.3 FM. To hear the full episode and past shows, go to thevword.us. To support independent radio, learn, volunteer, or donate, go to WRAR.org.